Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Previously on Black Brick. Beltran is going to be mad, Shannon said. He'll make us pay for this. She was referring to our boss, Jeff Beltran. Probably, I said, not relishing the idea of showing up at Black Brick with this to report. Kill me, begged the wounded man. His gun lay several feet away, but was not within his line of sight. We should have disarmed him earlier. In the heat of the moment, neither of us had thought about it. I kicked the gun further away. If he had a chance at living, I was not going to take it away. I had seen enough death for one day. As Shannon followed me down the alley, I kept a close eye on the roof and heaved a sigh of relief when we ran out the other side. 3. The sun peeked out of the clouds as Shannon and I walked onto Kingstone campus. It was nice to have a brief moment of heat to temper the cold of the early spring. As the sun disappeared again, I dug my hands deeper into the pockets of my coat and tried to clear my head from the morning's research. Everything I had read was starting to jumble together, and I was glad for the exercise. Why can't the news sites get anything right? Shannon asked as she walked with her phone in hand, eyes glued to the screen while she flipped through stories. Here's one that claims you and I were Latino men. I just finished another that said that it was a fight between three rival gangs. I was glad the media did not have their facts straight. It made it harder for the incident to be linked back to us. Any word on the ID of the victims, I asked, wishing that we would have had time to snap a few photos of Andrew's assailants. At least then we would have had something more to look into. Shannon shook her head without looking up. I took her arm and guided her on to one side of the sidewalk so that a cluster of approaching girls could pass on the other side. Jeff Beltran's contact with the police had not yet come back to him, so we did not know what evidence they'd been able to collect. Depending on what came back, Beltran might use his connections to obfuscate anything that led to us. We had turned in the guns we had fired and taken new ones. Our old pistols would be destroyed. The last thing we wanted was somebody connecting our missions together through ballistics. When I had produced Andrew's throwaway cell phone, the people on our surveillance team had become excited. The information on the phone was being analyzed, and we might have the results before we were done with class. I hated waiting. I needed something to do. Why didn't the sniper kill us, too? Shannon asked for the 20th time, putting away her phone and pulling several strands of her hair out of her eyes as she put on her sunglasses. She was wearing a thick purple coat that complemented her figure nicely. I did not tell her she looked good. For some reason, she did not enjoy those types of compliments, even though she went to a lot of effort to keep her clothing trendy. The only time I got away with that type of thing was when she was in the right kind of mood. I shrugged in response to her question and pushed away thoughts of the man I had killed. I had not slept much the night before, the shooting continuing to play through my mind. Shannon had wounded her guy. Why couldn't I have done the same with mine? At least then I wouldn't have had another death on my shoulders. I took a deep breath and let it out. I mean, it makes sense for the sniper to kill Andrews and the woman, Shannon said. He saw we had her and wanted to keep her from talking. You got it wrong, I said. Vargo figured out that Andrews was selling company secrets. I was referring to Lane Vargo, the CEO of Diagon. The woman was the buyer. That's why he killed her, too. No, the shooter and the woman were working together. If it were, I said, it would have made more sense for him to take out you and me. She frowned. You may have a point there. Okay, so the sniper probably wasn't with the woman. And who else would have an interest other than Diagon? Shannon nodded her head. Assuming that's true, why would the Diagon sniper leave us alone? I smiled, a thought occurring to me. I wondered why I hadn't seen it before. He knew we were government, and was worried that killing us would result in a drawn-out investigation. The thought that Vargo might know about us made me uncomfortable. Diagon had been the target of numerous investigations over the course of the last 2 years. We did not have anything definitive on the company, but as a whole, it smelled. I'm sure it was not the only defense contractor that got its hands dirty, but it was one of the largest. I suppressed a groan as I thought about going to class when we had just made a breakthrough. I had been in the middle of reviewing the surveillance logs we had on Andrews, Wondering if additional evidence of the woman he had been with last night would turn up, when Beltran had stopped by our desks and reminded us of class. Attending class was a distraction we did not need, but Beltran had been insistent that we keep our cover intact. We must work for the only federal agency that requires their agents to masquerade as students, I said. You need to learn how to whisper, Shannon said in a hushed voice that was almost as loud as mine. I looked around. There was not anybody within earshot. Nobody heard me. You, of all people, should know better. I shook my head. She was right. We walked in silence the rest of the way to class. Several minutes later, when we passed a group of girls, I wondered what it would have been like to be a real student here. Even if I graduated, the degree would never do me any good, because it was attached to a fake identity. And honestly, what good was a history degree anyway? We approached the George Washington Building, an impressive old four-story stone structure that housed the social science schools. We found our classroom on the second floor and took our seats at the back. The lecture hall was arranged with stadium seating, and a podium was located in front. Professor Peck stood at the lectern, waiting for class to start. He was a tall man with black hair that was beginning to turn gray on the sides. Rumor had it that he was wealthy and taught for free because it was his passion. I had meant to look into Peck because of his peculiar story, but had not yet found the time. Somebody nodded at me from the front row, and I made eye contact with Thor. I nodded back, doing my best to hide my dislike for the man. On one of those rare times when I had paid attention, Peck had been drilling him. For some reason I could not remember, I had read the assignment, and after it was obvious Peck was not going to let up on the poor kid, I had jumped in and directed away Peck's attention. I had regretted it ever since because Thor had not left me alone. Having outside connections wasn't a good idea for my line of work. Friends were a luxury I couldn't afford. I'm sure Beltran would have wanted me to be nicer for the sake of my cover, but I did not see the need. It was not worth the effort. While pulling out my tablet, I saw that the dark-haired girl from several rows up was trying to make eye contact with me. Again. She had been eyeing me since the beginning of the semester. I looked away with a tight smile and hoped that Shannon had not noticed. Sure enough, a message popped up on my tablet from Shannon a moment later. I did not respond as I shifted, trying to find a comfortable position. These chairs weren't made for somebody with long legs like mine. That, combined with the body armor I wore, always made attending class a chore. We were also required to wear thin, latex, invisible covers that hid our fingerprints, which made it harder to use the tablet. I had long since gotten used to those, but I doubted if I'd ever be comfortable with the armor. When I brought up the news, I tried to tell myself that I wasn't checking out of guilt, but I knew it was a lie. A few minutes later, I had found a follow-up to the initial news story about Bruce Andrews' murder. They had identified the woman Shannon had fought, Gina Townsend. I read on until the article identified the man I had killed, Terrence Morrison. The name seemed to burn into my brain, and I knew I would never forget it. I scanned the rest of the article, hoping for additional information about the victims, but was disappointed. Still, the names would be a good starting point. I forwarded the news link to Shannon and then elbowed her. "You check the woman," I said. "I'll research the men." She scowled, wondering what I meant until I pointed at the message that had just popped up on her screen. Sighing, she nodded. Toward the end of class, I had not managed to learn anything useful about Terrence and was becoming convinced that Terrence Morrison wasn't the man's real name. I didn't have access to all the tools the research team did back at Blackbrick, but I should have been able to learn something about him. Shannon nudged me, and I looked in the direction she indicated. Peck was picking on a student in the row in front of us, and the dark-haired girl was staring at me. I gave her a small smile. She returned it with a wide-mouthed grin. My face turned red, and I avoided making eye contact after that, but could feel her eyes burning into me. Did she have no shame? Shannon was sitting right beside me. Part of our cover was that we were dating. We acted the part when on campus in a way we never did at Blackbrick. Well, at least not when others were watching. "Stop leading her on," Shannon said. "You baited me," I said. "You know," she said, "there's something odd about this. You're ugly, cute in a blockhead sort of way, but still ugly. Think she's onto us?" I rolled my eyes. "You're paranoid." Shannon scowled. "She is way out of your league." "Thanks for thinking so highly of me," I said. "She's not a problem." My tablet vibrated, and I turned the screen back on. Beltran had just sent an email. The results from Andrew's phone were back. I smiled. The information gave us a new lead, and Beltran had included a mission assignment. Shannon and I had less than 2 hours to catch a plane to San Diego. We needed to investigate a hacker named Jason Kurt. Bruce Andrews had called Jason Kurt 7 times in the last 2 weeks. The surveillance team was going to be furious they had missed this. I did not want to be around when Beltran chewed them out for their mistake. How had Andrews kept the calls off the radar? We had his home, office, car, phone, tablets, and computer bugged. I was busy reading through the report when Peck called my name. Mr. Shever, what's your take on Executive Order 11905? I did not recognize the name until Shannon kicked my foot. I looked up already halfway through Beltran's email. The classroom discussion was the furthest thing from my mind. Mr. Shever, Mr. Peck said, what's more important than this class? My feeling of elation evaporated as I looked up into the cold eyes of Peck, and my mind went blank. I used my Sam Shever alias on campus, and I was embarrassed I had not recognized it. Executive Order 11905, prompted Peck. Not sure I'm familiar with it, I said. Skipped your reading, I see. I'm referring to our government's ban on assassination. Peck folded his arms and glared. The man should have been a judge. I felt condemned and guilty. Your thoughts. I nearly choked. Terrence Morrison's face came to mind, unbidden. It was followed by the other man I had killed. Sure, I had not assassinated any of my victims, but that sort of activity fit within to my job description. It's important to make sure that other leaders feel reassured that we won't target them, I said. It would change the dynamics if we had an open policy of assassination. Open policy? Peck asked. Do you suggest that there should be a secret policy? I cursed. I should not have answered that way. I wished Peck would leave me alone. Why not? I asked. Why should soldiers sacrifice their lives because of disagreements among idiot politicians? This was not going well. Shannon was looking away, but I could tell she thought I was being reckless. So, Mr. Shever, you have no qualms about our government planning cold-blooded murder? Shannon placed her hand on my leg. Her nails dug into my thigh. I did not say that. I could feel sweat forming on my forehead. I'm just saying that war is costly. We should make the leaders duke it out in the ring instead. It was a lame attempt at a joke, but nobody laughed. We would stop electing old white men to the presidency, Peck said. He smiled at the smattering of laughter he received. The pressure from Shannon's nails was going to tear through my jeans if she pressed any harder. Mr. Shever, please be sure to read the assignment for our next class. I'll send you some extra reading. Be prepared. Peck dismissed us. Skirting the line, Sam, Shannon whispered as we packed up our things. I followed her eyes to the dark-haired woman. It's going to take us 40 minutes to get to the airport, I said. We still had to get back to Blackbrick and collect our luggage. We always left it packed so we were ready to go at a moment's notice. I grimaced when I noticed Thor approaching, a wide grin on his goofy face. He was a short man and kept his hair cropped close to the head. We need to go, I said, but it was too late. Thor was already here. Peck was tough, but you held your own. Thor grinned and alternated between me and Shannon, hoping for an introduction. I was not going to give it. That wasn't bad. I was just having some fun. Good seeing you. I slung my pack over my shoulder and headed for the door, leaving Shannon to catch up. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.